Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast, He Stutters, She Asks Him. You can find the podcast directly linked to the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, I have the privilege and the opportunity to speak to a guy that I've only really said hi and bye to at some of the National Stuttering Association conferences. So I'm really excited to get to know him a little bit better. So please welcome me in saying hello to Landon. Hey, Landon, how's it going?
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. I'm enjoying a nice, sunny, peaceful day so far on a weekend. And yeah. How about you?
It is very nice here. It's like super blue skies, so that's always nice.
Awesome. So to get us started, would you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do to keep yourself busy.
Okay, well, I'm Landon Murray from New Orleans. I am in school for a process engineering, and I'm also the New Orleans chapter leader of the National Stuttering Association here in New Orleans. So I've been doing that for about 2 years now.
I didn't realize that you were a chapter leader. That's pretty cool. How did you get involved in that?
Well, I lived in Lafayette for like 2 years because my fiance was at a school there. And one day, it's a really interesting story, actually. One day she was at school and she goes, she's walking around campus, and the NSA chapter there was doing like an info booth. And I'm sure you've met John Tadnowski.
I know of him, and I've listened to him at workshops, but I've never actually met him, no.
Super, super awesome guy. He was in charge of the chapter, and she was like, oh, I'm gonna ask them what this is about, and she told them all about me, and they were like, you have to get him to come to a group. So she came home that afternoon and was like, have you ever heard of this thing called the NSA? I was like, no. And then she's like, we are going to go to a group tomorrow night. And I, to be honest, I was at the point with my speech that I was completely comfortable, but I was not, I assumed that it would be more therapy, which is something I was not interested in at all. And my fiance is very forgetful, so the day of the group, I of course am like counting down the hours because I don't want to go, and she didn't bring it up until like an hour before, and she's like, are we going? And I'm like, I don't want to. And she's like, no, we're gonna go just once and see how it is. And to be honest, that one group changed my whole life. Like the next day she emailed Tammy and told her about our time at the support group and explained that we wouldn't, that we'd like to go to a conference, but that we couldn't afforded, and Tammy basically paid for everything.
Oh, wow.
And that first year changed both of us. And then I moved to New Orleans, and I was in the group there for like a year and a half. And after the Cleveland conference, I just felt the need to like give more. So I took the steps, and I asked the guy who was in charge if I could perhaps try it. And he was like, yeah, of course. And then that was 2 years ago. When I took over, we had two or three who came every month, and now we're up to around eight.
Oh wow. And
So yeah.
what do you attribute that in increase to?
Well, I mean, I really tried to tell everyone that I meet who I think can get something out of the group about the group, and I do. We've done some like info booths, and we've had a few events. I'm just trying to get our name out there as much as we can, because the group helped me so much, and we have guys who are coming, to groups now who I can tell, it just makes a really big difference. So I wouldn't say it's all me, but I definitely tried my best, and some just naturally find the group. So I think it just depends.
How do you guys advertise?
As of now, we don't really advertise that much. I've tried countless times to like get us mentioned on the news or like commercials, but it hasn't really worked that much. Most of the new guys in our group have just, they found the NSA site, and they found where the groups are, and they've just like showed up.
Oh, I see.
So,
And you keep saying guys. Are the
well, no,
members
sorry.
mostly are no, are the mem are the mem are the members that attend, are they m most mostly guys?
I would say no. We have three or four girls who come. So it's usually a that half and half. I think I'm just saying guys. Like as a generalization.
Yeah, I'm just teasing
No.
you, kind of. But when I was
That's fine.
going to support group meetings here in New York for a while, I don't anymore. But I sometimes found myself the only woman with like 10 or 12 guys, and I sometimes felt really uncomfortable with that, like always being the only woman there. So it's good to hear that you kind of have a mixed group. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
What was it about that first meeting that your girlfriend, now fiance, kind of dragged you to? What
Well,
was it that like changed your life?
like I said, I was not interested in more therapy at all, because it just didn't work for me. And I think she was just trying to I think she was just trying to see how this would work. And up until that point, I hadn't met anyone else who stuttered.
Oh,
So
wow.
going to that first group and seeing, I think part of it was I always I think I'm not sure how you are or everybody else is, but you tend to always be your worst enemy. And I always felt horrible about my speech growing up, but then I met all these people who had it like so much worse. I was like, you know, this is just not cool. They are doing awesome, so I need to do awesome too. And it was nice to walk into a room and have everyone completely understand what you've been through.
Yeah, I can relate because I did not meet any other people that stutter myself until 6 years ago in 2006 when I kind of had a rock bottom point in my life, and reached out for some support and did some internet research and learned about the NSA and found out that they had a local chapter right in my area, and I didn't know that, and I went to a meeting and was just totally blown away by the fact that there were other people like me. And yeah, that in and of itself changed me. It took me a while though, honestly, Landon, because like when I first went and saw other people stuttering freely, I was really overwhelmed, and got really emotional, and like at first didn't want to like admit that I was like part of them. Because I had been covert for a long time, but then after I gave myself permission to begin to work on accepting, just like you, it just like totally changed my whole attitude, and allowed me to be much more free with how I feel about stuttering. So yeah, just meeting other people was just like mind blowing.
It's do you find you said that you were covert, and we have one guy and two girls who are all covert in my group, and I find that they need so much love because they've been going through that privately for so long. So I've watched all three of them change from switching out words and not saying certain things to being completely open. And I think that just shows the strength of these groups.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. Switching words, avoiding words, and more importantly, I was avoiding situations, avoiding life, because I was afraid of, being found out, number one, and number two, being afraid of being judged.
Yeah,
So
definitely.
yeah, so I like the way that you say that, people that are covert need so much love, because struggling to hide something that is so much a part of you is really hard work. So to witness their transformation and becoming open with themselves, for you, that must be a really empowering thing to see and be part of.
It's awesome. It just you can't help but make that feel to make you feel good at that, because that's why the groups are there, is for everyone to grow. And you know, it everyone's road is not the same length. We have a girl in there. I'm not going to say her name because she, you know, she's still in the process of telling everyone. She went to Fort Worth and had no idea that there was even a New Orleans chapter, and she ran into a Stephen Kaufman, and then he found me, and then she and I met, and she's been at the group since then. And to see her change has been, you know, she used to come to the group and not say a word, and now she actually like talks, and she's like an actual part of the group.
Oh, that's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah. What kinds of things do you talk about at the group? Like what type of topics usually come up?
Well, you know, I at first, you know, was kind of just an open talk, but then I found that we would benefit more from like a structured group. So I kind of like changed it. We tend to talk about like a whole bunch of stuff. We talked about, you know, things we do to improve our confidence. And this past month, we made a list of a bad situations you may get into, and how you could best, you know, how you could best turn that into a positive. So it's kind of all over the place, but you know, every, like every time we have a group, I'll sit down and I'll figure out some, you know, some like key things. This past month, we had three new people who, and they had only been coming for like 2 months, and they just wanted to talk about the conference. So we spent quite a lot of time on that because they're dying to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had everyone who had been go around and explain, you know, how it was for them their first time and what they learned and all that stuff. And that seemed to like make them want to go, you know, 10 times more, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned confidence, and you talk about how people in your group can, you know, work up on building confidence. You yourself sound like you're a very confident person. Has that always been the case?
Yeah, that is. I've always kind of been full of myself, so I just naturally think I'm awesome. But I went through some really dark times with my speech. I was, I was the guy who was always like desperate to have friends, and I would, you know, change for, you know, friends. And I went through a really dark time. I couldn't say my name for about like 3 years. So I would have to like write my name down and say, hi, I'm, you know, hand them a piece of paper. But then I got to a point where I was, you know, I didn't have, you know, friends. So I had to figure out how would it be cool with myself. And that was not easy, but it was definitely worth everything in the end, because now, I find that as long as you're comfortable with yourself, everybody else will fall in line, to be honest.
You said that you sometimes found yourself changing just to like suit the needs of people that might become your friends. What do you mean?
Well, in high school, it was really, really awful. Like really terrible. You just, I think if you don't have a strong, character and yourself, you'll just go along with whatever everybody else wants, because you don't want to be alone. So, that kind of thing.
So did you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily have done just to kind of like fit in?
Probably, yeah. Probably. I can't think of anything specific, but yeah, I guess a 15 and 16 year old kid, you really don't have any idea who you actually are, I think. So I probably definitely did some stuff that, is not really me, or I stuck around in situations where I would not now. But yeah, that was not, that's not really a great thing. I would not advise that anyone.
Yeah, the teenage years are certainly tough enough, and then if you add a stutter to it, yeah, you're right. We don't want to encourage 15 and 16 year olds to act like somebody they're not just to try to fit in. It's definitely better to, encourage people to be themselves, but as we both know, that's easier said than done.
No, oh yeah, and the thing that I had the issue with was we moved from 8th grade to ninth grade. We moved, so I moved to a whole different town. I had to like start over. And that's not easy either. So I was thrust into this thing where I knew nobody. So I had to just, try my best.
Yeah. What was it like with your te your te te teachers? Were they supportive?
Most of them were, but there were a few who laughed at me when I would try to speak. Like, I always think about this one day where someone, I got caught really bad on a word, and the whole class and the teacher of the class began to like laugh. I'm laughing at me, and I like stormed out the class. I was crying. I called my mom, and she came and picked me up, and I didn't go to school for like 3 months because I just couldn't even deal with it.
Wow.
And my mom completely understood, and she was great, and I think she could just sense that I couldn't do it. I was just beaten and done.
Did anybody give that teacher hell?
No.
So
No.
she kind of got away with laughing at a kid who stutters.
Pretty much, yeah. The school I moved to was like a super small school in a rural town. So I was, the strange kid. So I was in no open field. So,
That's
but I
tough.
mean, I look back at all that, and I'm glad that that occurred because I don't know, where I would have been if I had to get cool with myself. And that was, we've talked a lot of in our groups about, like a potential cure, and we have some who say I would take the cure in a heartbeat, and others who say I wouldn't take the cure. I would personally not take the cure, also because I find the best cure that I have found is being cool with me, and that's like the best thing you can ever hope for.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's like the healthiest attitude to certainly have. But it also sounds like you've really learned some lessons about life and yourself along the way.
Definitely.
Do you still have any hard times now, like as an adult? I mean, do you have any situations now where you have people say dumb things to you or, react n negatively?
Well, I think that that's always going to. Be there, and I used to be I used to get like super angry about stuff like that, but from now I'm at the point where I try to take that time and educate because they may not know how on helpful they're being, so you just have to put yourself out there and be like, that's not cool, man. You're not helping me. Please, give me a second. I'm doing the best I can, and I think for the most part, it helps if I don't take it in a more like confrontational way. If I just like explain to them that it's not cool, please stop. Almost everyone understands that.
When you were younger, did you ever punch anybody because they made fun of you?
Tons of fights. Tons of fights. I got in fights every single day. Like every single day. It was horrible. It was terrible. I used to get, yeah, I was, yeah, I got in a lot of fights. A lot of fights.
So did you, so were you the winner in those fights, or were you the one that got your butt kicked?
I was pretty much the one that was, being like, beat up. Yeah.
Oh no.
Like I was not that big of a kid. I was thin and frail, and I've gained some weight now, but yeah, you don't generally fare too well when it's like the football players and the jocks who are like the main guys going after you. I didn't ever give up, but I wouldn't say that I won those fights. But yeah.
Now, you mentioned that your fiance really wanted you to go to that first and NSA meeting a couple of years ago. Does she stutter too?
No, she is completely fluent. Actually,
So
she is completely fluent.
what was her interest in going to the NSA meeting?
I think she was just trying to get me to come, and she probably understood that if she didn't go, I would probably not go either. She was only there as support. She is, she's awesome. She is, my best friend. She's great. She's super cool, and she will support doing it. And anything that she, if she thinks it will help, she will, without a doubt, be there. She actually still comes to groups.
Oh, how did you
So,
guys meet?
we met at a mutual friend's party. But we actually, this past February was actually our 5 year anniversary. Treasury.
Wow.
So we met there, and from then on, I called her for 2 weeks to try to get a date, and finally I wore her down, and that was basically it. Yeah.
What was her initial reaction to stuttering?
Well, the thing was, my best friend had asked me to go to this thing. I went and I only knew her, so I ended up, being alone for like 2 hours. So I was drinking quite fast, and by the time she came, I was really drunk, and she thought I was like a special need, because I was very drunk, and I was slurring on every single word. And she pulled my friend aside. I was like, "What's wrong with him?" And she's like, "Oh, he's just drunk, but he does have this speech thing." And she had never met anyone else who stuttered, so I think she just took that as a learning experience. So she's been great. She's awesome.
It sounds it. When are you guys getting married?
We set the date for October 5th of next year. So we still have some time. We're trying to pay for it ourselves, and I'm not out of school yet. I'll be done in the fall, and I'll hopefully find a job soon after that. So, we're trying to give ourselves time to pay for all of this, because it is not cheap.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah, I've heard weddings can be like almost as much as it costs for a car.
Yeah, it's a bit. I mean, it's not cheap, but like we're only doing this once, so you know, I think it's worth it for, you know, what is probably going to end up being one of the best days of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And you said you're in school, and when you introduced yourself, you said you were majoring in process engineering?
Yeah,
What is that?
Well, you know, I basically I'll be working at like a chemical plant, overseeing, you know, things that are made there.
Sounds exciting.
It probably won't be that exciting, but it'll be a great chance to learn, and the pay is awesome.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah, the pay is great.
Has your speech ever interfered with your progress and participation in college?
It has not at all. This past in the fall, I actually had to take a public speaking class, and the first day I showed up, I explained to the teacher who I was, and I explained about my speech, and I let him know that was not gonna hinder me in any way. I ended up making I made a 98 in that class. You know, so it was awesome, and I did great, and I was, you know, those kinds of things don't, you know, if I have to do it, I'll just do it. And I'm not, you know, I've never been the quiet guy, I guess. So I think, you know, that helped too.
I definitely get that impression, Landon, that you're not one of the quiet guys.
We had a girl who came to our group. She was in school to be an SLP, and she actually just moved, and she now go to a group in Florida, and she explained where she was from, and you know, who I was, and you know, the guy who was in charge of the group, he's like, "Oh, I know him. I've seen him around. That's the guy who goes up and talks to everyone. Everyone knows this dude's name because he talks to everyone for 4 days." And and she told me all that, and she's like, and I was like, I guess I am that guy. I did then, you know, completely. I didn't know I was, but, you know, it seems like I am. So that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've already kind of talked about this, but I kind of want to just ask one final question as we begin to wind down. You mentioned that, you know, if there was ever a pill that could, you know, cure your stuttering at this point, you wouldn't take it. What's the most important thing you know, you think that you've, you know, learned about yourself from the experience of being a person who stutters?
I think that, like I said earlier, we, you know, we all have really bad times, and it's not up to every one else to help the situation. That's, you know, that falls on you. And like, I have to say, I think I'm going to stick with the fact that I worked super hard to get to a point where I was comfortable with myself. And after you become comfortable with you, there is nothing you can't do as long as you are, you know, focused and determined. So I think that those two things play a big part.
I agree, and I love the way you just kind of summarize that. There's nothing we can't do, and I think that's, you know, the real epitome of self-acceptance, that no matter what we have, you know, no matter what our situation is, if we believe in ourselves, which you definitely sound like you do, there's nothing we can't do. And that's an important message to get out there. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I really appreciate how honest you were, and just going with the flow here with this conversation.
No, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, it was. And I wish I could give you a high five over the phone, because, you know, you really rock. And I'm looking forward to
We'll have to save that for Tampa.
Absolutely. That is a definite. We're going to have to give each other a high five and a hug.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thanks again, Landon. And this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.